Today's passage is John 6, 1-15. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him, because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread, so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have this people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Here in John 6, we're looking at the feeding of the 5,000, one of Jesus' most famous miracles. I'm sure some of us have heard about this miracle many times, but I encourage you to put yourself in the disciples' shoes and try to take a look at it from a fresh perspective. We get a lot of detail about the setting of this miracle right away in the first few verses. From verse 1, it's on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and from verse 3, Jesus goes up a mountain with his disciples. As for the timing of this was during the Passover, from verse 4. Thanks to my study Bible notes, I know that verse 4 is an interesting detail, as well as the other ones. This miracle reminds us of God providing for the Israelites after the actual Passover, the first Passover. Remember, the Israelites during the Passover, when the spirit of death passed over them and only affected the Egyptians, the Israelites crossed through a sea, the Red Sea, on dry ground, just like verse 1. Moses would go up a mountain shortly after that, Mount Sinai, in the wilderness to receive the law. And as alluded to later on in the chapter, in the wilderness, God would also provide bread for the Israelites in the form of manna. It's pretty cool seeing all the similarities between that Old Testament miracle and this miracle. And again, we'll see more of this later on next week. But anyways, back to the passage. Jesus and his disciples are on the mountain when they see the large crowd coming towards them. It's 5,000 men. So with women and children, that could have been easily much more, maybe even 10,000. These people are following Jesus because of the healing that they've witnessed or heard about. Imagine the largest crowd you've ever seen, the largest crowd you've ever been in. It's probably been a while because of COVID, since you've seen any crowds, but do your best to remember. Maybe graduation or an NBA game. As you picture this giant crowd coming towards you, imagine Jesus saying to you, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" Even today, knowing that this miracle happened, talking about it now, if it happened today, that would be really intimidating. And I think many of us would have responded just like Philip, where he says, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. I just think of the few times at the Fenway site where we provided lunch outside on the field. And with the food that we have prepared in advance, it's still hard to know if it'll be enough. And there's always a little stress as we see the crowd trickling out of service and coming towards the tables. I probably would have responded just like Philip. Jesus, maybe a week's notice in advance, and if you gave us a huge budget, then we would be able to give people something to eat. Andrew does a little better in this passage, bringing the boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish over, though he still displays a lot of doubt. He says, "But what are they for so many?" Yet Jesus, of course, knows what he's doing. He was only testing Philip and the others. Verse 6 says, "He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do." At his instruction, Jesus has the people sit down, distributes the food, and the people eat as much as they want until they are full. Like the first miracle of turning water into wine, I wonder at what point do the disciples realize something amazing is happening? Maybe when the food gets beyond the first circle of people. Or maybe when the food gets passed out to everybody because it's so natural as people take food and pass it on, that maybe it takes a while for the news to sink in for them. Afterwards, Jesus instructs them to gather the leftovers, and they fill up 12 baskets, one for each of the 12 disciples. Just think about what it would be like to walk around afterwards and pick up the leftovers. It'd be a great time to reflect on what just happened. There is no way to feed these 5,000 plus people. Then Jesus took those 5 loaves and 2 fish from a boy, and now all these people were stuffed, and I'm filling an entire basket full of the leftovers. This basket itself is more than the boy started with. And there was this buzz among the people. This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. I think all of these details about the disciples, with Jesus testing them first and then telling them to pick up the leftovers, these details invite the reader into the perspective of the disciple, to think about what this miracle really means. First, we have an experience where Jesus is God of the plenty, the God who multiplies abundantly. Just like how God rained down manna in the desert for the Israelites, Jesus shows that he is God. He is the same God, the source of life. Later in the chapter, he calls himself the bread of life. Also, we see that Jesus wants his disciples to really believe in him. He tests them so that they'll grow in their faith in him and expect him to provide. Philip would remember, "I really doubted Jesus at first, but he wants me to not freak out next time. Next time I'll try to turn to Jesus first." For us, let's reflect on these ideas and however else God may be speaking to you through the passage. Can we remember that Jesus provides and multiplies abundantly? We are all in different tough situations during this season. Maybe we feel like we have so little energy and love to invest into others, but we are called to love our neighbors. Well, let's believe that God can do great things through what we offer him. Maybe we are feeling a bit directionless in prayer, or we know what to pray for, but we just can't see how God will move in such a great way. Elsewhere, Jesus says that with the faith the size of a mustard seed, we can move mountains. Let's simply go to Jesus and seek his life and provision. And let's also learn to grow in that trust, where we go to Jesus first, more and more, remembering all the times that we've experienced his abundance before. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this passage and this account of this miracle. And Lord, I pray that you would just renew our awe of you, that this actually did happen, and you're the same God of providence. You're the same God of abundance. And Lord, you call us to have faith in you, to expect you to do great things like this. Lord, I pray that you would renew our faith, God, grow our faith in you. And Lord, if it's just a passion to pray again, Lord, won't you do this in us and multiply that passion and multiply what we have to offer you. Lord, we need your help, and we thank you that you're so willing to, again, just pour out life to us. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray.